Hey yo, what's up world? This is DJ JS1 of the legendary Rocksteady crew. And right now, you're listening to The Library with my man, Tim Einenkel, on rapstation.com. Strictly the real hip-hop. Peace. D-E-E-P, beyond your whole acquisition. Master cylinder, iron giant singular. Suit and hammer with the gunmetal great feature. Killer mecha giga terror, humans enter the drone era. Chambers of unorthodox linguistics from the beta letters. Brings the pain and the pathos from the epic center. Become the flame of awareness and the mind will enter. Deep walking dwellers on the threshold of acceptation. Shadow fabrics left reflections any force you form. I'll break it. Violate a slide across the
Divine Skylar, legendary MC and artist with over 25 years in the game, starting out with Ice-T's Crime Syndicate. He has literally pushed the boundaries of what hip-hop can be and should be. Colors outside the lines, not afraid to journey where others have not. At the end of 2014, he released Death Mass, his fourth album, on which he continues to blaze his own path, pushing the creative elements of hip-hop to the maximum. It is my pleasure to introduce the one and only Divine Styler to The Library with Tim Einenkel on rapstation.com. Thank you so much for being here, Divine.
Yes, thank you. Peace.
Divine, I want to kind of go on to... kind of your career and looking at your discography, there were 3 years between your first album and second album, then there were 7 years from the second album to the third, and now 14 years to this album, Death Mask. Why so much time in between albums?
I've never been driven by accolades or desires, so it's not like I didn't get into the music business because I wanted a career in music. I just did it because I was making records, you know. It wasn't a conscious thing, and one thing led to another. Then it's like, okay, well, you're under contract, make another record. So I did Spiral Walls, and then I don't know why I took a break. It wasn't a conscious effort, just life, you know what I mean? And I started to realize that the records were almost writing themselves. And I couldn't, because in between those records, I was always doing music in some way, shape, or form. And every time I would force it, yeah, I wasn't happy with it. It didn't feel right because it felt like I was contriving something. And that didn't feel, it felt like that wasn't my purpose to contrive. So I wait for the conversation to appear. And then I started to realize that it's my experiences that actually write the records. And after, you know, so much of an experience is actually had, it starts to write itself. And that's kind of how it's always been.
You started out your career kind of during a time in rap music where there was actually a lot of content diversity played on the radio. You know, you could have like Public Enemy played alongside an NWA or whatnot, right? Yes. But now we're at a time where it seems like there's actually zero content diversity in played on rap music, but it's actually the most popular right now. Do you think this is a conscious effort by the powers that be to play, not to put diversity of content on the radio?
Absolutely. There's a lot of speculation about it and a lot of speculation as to why. But, you know, you got rap being one of the biggest creators of income, but who is receiving the income? When you got to give away your music, this is the only genre that you got to give away music. So you're giving away music in a billion-dollar industry, and the artist is not seeing it. Even if you're a signed artist, how can Pharrell sell... what is it, 93 million streams and only make $2,500? As big as he is, a superstar, and earned it, and blah, blah, all that good stuff, and he only received $2,500. So who owns the content? So with that system in place, you know, that's one speculation. With that system in place where you are receiving 200 and upwards of percent of return, and the artist ain't seeing it, who's seeing it? So why not keep that boat floating? for whoever it's working for, you know what I mean? But the other thing is, the other aspect of it, you know, there was a time where there was a major transition from the free form of the expression into this gangster rap thing, and then it took off. And how did gangster rap become the staple to where that became what we do as an art form? That had nothing to do with the art form. That's street again. That's drug dealer. That's people killing people. That has nothing to do with the art form. So now we're in this place where everything is anti-life, and it sells. Now, does it sell because the companies want more of it because it sold in the beginning? Because, you know, NWA came out, or Public Enemy sold. Why can't we have more Public Enemy? Or, you know what I mean, Super Lover C sold, or Big Daddy Kane and Biz sold. Why can't we have more of that? So at that point, you know, for me, that's where the conversation lies. Who is in control? The they question. Who are they? You know what I mean? Or is it left up to these kids that want these record deals, and they think they have to do that to make a record? So that's what the company wants to push. No, the company pushes what they want to push. They'll sell you, you know, dog on a stick if they want to, and you will purchase it because they're telling you to. I just don't think people are that stupid. I think there is a system in place, you know what I mean? And I try and stay away from the in-depth version of that conversation, because I don't want to get into philosophical and argumentative debates with ignorant people about it, you know what I mean, and so forth and so on. But I definitely think it is totally by design.
Right. I mean, you play enough of one song on the radio, you play a song 100 times on the radio, people are going to like that song no matter what.
No matter what. You know, this whole thing that we work for the fans is a bunch of bullshit, you know what I mean? No, you make records because you like to express the way you like to express, you know, not because that's what the fans want. The fans don't know what they want. They take what you give them, and they could either like it or dislike it. But at that point, it's not art. If you know what I mean, it's not a personal endeavor or creation or however you put it. Like, then why are you doing it if you're doing it for them, and they don't know what they want? So it's in a weird place, and I don't understand where it's going to evolve at this point. But I don't know. It's just interesting.
I want to talk about this really quick. I have a quick question about your Muslim faith. How much does your faith play a role in your art? And are you usually in sync, or do you find yourself running into kind of personal contradictions when you're doing art?
Personal contradictions? That's an interesting question. Not really. No, never really. I mean, there was a point in time where I really got serious in with Islam, you know, because you hit that point. Well, am I going to do this, or am I going to play with it? You know, why are you doing anything? You know, if you're going to do something, are you going to embody it or keep continuing to do the things that are contradictory to the thing you say you're going to do? And so I got really serious in the mid 90s, you know, and I made my pilgrimage and got married and, you know, did all the things you're supposed to do. And there, you know, as I interact with fellow Muslims, you know, you run across the ones that say, you know, music is haram. You're not supposed to be doing music. You're not supposed to be doing that. And I look at that and I think to myself and I wonder, and I was like, everything here that we have access to as a race of humans on this planet was here before we got here. Even the ideas. and if that is under the guise of, you know, we can do right or wrong with it. We can do good or bad with it. But to tell me that I can't do music, that's more of, fanaticism, kind of extremist kind of a thing. And I just wasn't feeling that. But the sensibility of it is designed to make you feel guilty and to make you feel like you can't do anything, you know, because Satan is everywhere. And I just don't adhere to that thought and that idea. First of all, I don't believe in the devil. I don't believe there's such thing as the devil. And I'm definitely not feeling the idea that there's some Satan in some invisible Satan somewhere that is out there to stop you. You know what I mean? Creation is creation. The supreme being, or whatever you want to call it. But I just don't, you know. So I was always, I never really had a contradictory feeling of, in that sense, or the guilt to have to make Islamic based music or religious based music. You know, like, you know, I make music in the world. You're supposed to not be in the world in some, you know, belief systems. You're supposed to be out of the world and be here in this bubble. And I kind of never gelled with that. You know what I mean? And I kind of did my thing because I feel I have self-control. I can be in the world and not have to fall victim to all the shit that's out there. You know what I mean? I can walk amongst whatever. It people are people. You just learn how to, you know. So I always came from that place with it.
I've heard you in past interviews. You talked about your dad, Richardson. He was a DJ. He worked for WBLS and a bunch of other clubs. I've always found it interesting, you know, when people talk about their kind of the music they grew up listening to. What's the most memorable record you remember your dad spinning? And then which one do you think is the most influential to you as an artist?
Oh, wow. That's a trip. The biggest influence, the biggest record, not biggest influence, but to answer your first half of the question, Love is a Message. He did Love is a Message Master Mix, I think in 80 or 79, and they used to play it on BLS. And Love is a Message was a big record. That is like the New York anthem for disco at the time. And, you know, it was like, it was dope. It was just like, you know, damn, I would hit on the radio and smile, but growing up around him being a DJ, it was still first, being DJ in the house and out in the parks and in the clubs, it was still first nature to me. So it wasn't like a big deal, but he was on the radio with one of the biggest New York records. It was interesting. And I think the only thing that influenced me musically from what he did was just being around so much music at a young age. You know, them building the sound system in the house, them breaking it down to take it outside to the park, putting gear in it, and the people involved, and the records in my room, you know, being 5 years old and having these crates of records with nothing to do. It's either you suck your thumb or you look at the record covers. Right. You know what I mean? Right, so I spent a lot of my childhood just looking at record covers and reading them and just being fascinated by the diverse. I remember just looking at a Parliament record at a certain age and just reading the comics on it and looking at the art and trying to figure out what this meant. And then looking at a Kraftwerk record, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And being like completely mystified, like why do they have a computer head, you know what I mean? I having these questions and the feeling that these covers gave you and what they implied, and then you put the music on. I had one of those fold record players, you know, the plastic record player.
Oh, wow.
You put a record on it, and that's how I used to play his records. And I used to play the hell out of Trans Europe Express. Wow. And turn up the lights and scare my sister. You know what I mean? And I love that shit. But I guess that was my first sci-fi experience with myself.
That's awesome. Divine, you released your first album, Word Power, in 1989. And as we've talked about as Death Mass is your fourth album, released late last year. You've had a long career, but which album do you think best represents you as an artist? And then which album are you the most proud of so far?
I think they all represent me because they're really snapshots of a journey.
Mm.
And the journey's not over. But the one that I'm most proud of, I would say is a really hard one. It would be Spiral Walls and Death Mass. Spiral Walls for the pure, like, honesty and the purity of it, for me to just unafraid and just to you know, do something that was you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to make that kind of record as an MC. And Deathmass, just the pure damn hard work that went into it, you know, with nothing. Because again, I'm doing this on my own with no income, like I don't have a budget, and all the perks of getting into a nice mixing studio or what have you and all that stuff. You know, I'm doing it all on my own, 100,000%, and that was a feat. To be able to do it at my age and to do it the way I did it, and you know, not lazily, but as a respectable piece of art, you know, I'm proud of that.
So what keeps you, I mean, I guess what keeps you going? Like, I don't know, what how do you continue to draw inspiration?
That's a really good question. I don't know. You know what I mean? I really don't know. I guess I really like what I do. You know what I mean? I don't necessarily like the business aspect of it and what making a record brings, because it brings a lot of bullshit. You know, it brings a lot of people who want to, you know, they want to connect to you for the wrong reasons. They want to use you as a vehicle. It's the whole Hollywood thing. You know what I mean? I ain't into that. I'm just not into that. I want to make records and make my money and make records. You know, I want to be paid for my worth. But I don't want the bullshit that comes with it. But it comes, you know what I mean? It comes inevitably. But I have a low tolerance for it. Again, I'm not here for that. I'm here for the expression, you know what I mean? To do the thing. And, yeah, that would be it.
He's a legendary MC and a legendary artist with over 25 years in the game. Latest album, Death Mask. Divine Styler, thank you so much for joining me in the library with Tim Randicall on rapstation.com. Ready? My program is legendary, spit rate hereditary, flow weight never ready, bit rate metal heavy, PTSD, roughshod with no apparition, DEEP, beyond your whole acquisition, master cylinder, iron giant singular, suit and hammer with the gunmetal great feature. Killer mecha, giga terror, humans enter the drone era. Chambers of unorthodox linguistics from the beta letters. Brings the pain and the pathos from the epic center. Become the flame of awareness and the mind will enter. Deep walking dwellers on the threshold of acceptation. I shadow vapid left reflections and force you form, I'll break it. Violator slide across the line, circumference operating. Double-minded self-indulgent light snatches computating. My battle armor shell of exoskeletal misdirection. To this omniverse with rhyming methods. From the ancient style of subterfuge, I raise the question: is your square off a degree or are you in your center? Bring your rapture any fashion. Doppelgangers lack the passion, void of any act of ration. Lacking science, lowest chances. I smell the weakness in the devil's iron blinking pattern. I wrote the sequence to the virus, now I'll crack his atom. Alpha. Slowly descend. I'm bodying his dark lord, striking with a spark sword, shoddy.
World order terror. The web you cast is only for the dreamers dreaming pleasure. I'm wide awake. And- Sarah's burning words.